the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith along with David Dawson. Hey, Dave. Good morning, Gabby.
How are you?
I'm really good, actually. I'm a little sleepy, but I'm grateful. So
All right. We're
just ready to get the day started.
Stayed up late last night or just couldn't sleep worrying about show prep? What?
No, I don't worry about show prep.
I'm messing with you.
it's just one of those days.
Yeah, I thought you were worried about co-hosting with Dave. It's like, oh no, how am I gonna pull him out of this?
We just laugh.
We just pray.
That's how we pull each other out of it.
let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty, ever-living God, let us feel your compassion more readily during these days when, by your gift, we've known it more fully, so that those you have freed from the darkness of error may cling more firmly to the teachings of your truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Father, Son, amen. Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed James Aldo is our saint of the day. So pray for us, Blessed James.
Pray for us. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will learn more about Blessed James later on during our Saint of the Day segment. But stay with us because we have some wonderful events at 10 after we will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website, ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Father Shannon Bouquet joins us. He's the Human Life International President, and today we are diving into the Catholic Church's teaching on modern medicine and human life bioethics. He's going to talk about Human Life International's perspective on this and how they are continuing to promote and respect the right to life. So looking forward to Father Bouquet's segment today. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He is the COO of Witness to Love. And on Thursday, we talk about marriage and family life. It's always a wonderful conversation with David Dawson Jr. And we always learn something a little bit new every segment. So looking forward to that. And in 48 minutes, Sarah Jane Schmidt joins us. She is a fertility educator over at Woman's New Life Clinic in New Orleans, and we will talk a little bit more about what they are up to. They have a lot going on. I know they're getting ready for their Saved in Hope
event
coming up and just doing some wonderful work to promote life, respect life in Southeast Louisiana. So, and Dave, we have some time to talk about a little bit of fun news. So I saw this yesterday, and I posted it on our Facebook page. But New Orleans Saints and Pelicans owner Gail Benson visited Italy and Germany this past week. She was promoting tourism. She ended up meeting Pope Francis.
Yes.
And she gave him a Saints jersey.
Right.
With the number one on it. And it says Papa Francesco. So anyway, so cute.
And the crowd roars.
Take a look.
Right.
Take a look. I mean, it's so cool. So go to our Facebook page and take a look at that.
We've had worse recruits. We can have him out on the field, Gabby. I mean, he could.
The comment section.
I bet.
Okay, so WDSU News shared it. The comment section is just.
I can only imagine the comments coming from that. But, you know, I mean, now we got his. He's got our back. He's got our jersey there. He's going to pray for the Saints. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that it says the Saints, I mean, it's a perfect fit. And
it's
a white jersey.
It's cool.
And it's a white jersey.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, if you want a good laugh, there's some football comments in the comment section on that WDSU post. Take a look at that. But we actually shared it on our Facebook page. Catholic Community Media is where you can go and search in the Facebook search bar and follow us on there as well. Stay with us. We have your gospel and reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The Jews murmured because they did not understand the meaning of Jesus' words, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." You see, they had it backwards. They wanted to understand so they could believe, but they must first believe so they could understand, at least somewhat. Christ offers the gift of faith, but they must surrender to it. And therefore, Jesus challenges his audience to believe. Whoever believes has eternal life. But what specifically were they to believe? Jesus made it very clear when he added, "I am the bread of life." In order to prop up their lagging faith, Jesus again clarified the difference between manna and the bread of life. The manna, like all natural bread, merely sustains life for a time. But those who eat the supernatural bread that comes down from heaven will never die. Then, to avoid the possibility that he is merely speaking in a symbolic way, Jesus made his claim unmistakably clear. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Greek word that is translated as flesh is sarx. This is a very graphic word that always means real flesh, not some symbol. Consider, for example, we may refer to a lake as a body of water, but never as a flesh of water. And therefore, when the Apostle John wanted to make it very clear that the divine word assumed a real human body, not some phantom body, he wrote, "The word became flesh, sarx, and made his dwelling among us." The use of the future tense, "I will give," adds a stirring element to the discourse, because it looks to Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday and the first Eucharistic celebration that anticipated his death on Holy Thursday. We recently participated with the whole church in celebrating these two great events. May they transform our lives. Jesus is quite clear that his flesh, which constitutes the heavenly bread, is the same body that he will give for the life of the world. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel in Reflection. It is 11 past the hour on Wake Up. We're so glad you're joining us today. Well, May is quickly approaching. Yes, we only have a few more days left in the month of April. But I say that because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and St. Benilde Catholic Church in Metairie is hosting the Sanctuary Mental Health Course for Catholics, where you can explore key mental health topics and examine meaningful ways to offer compassion, support, recovery, and promote well-being. Join them as a faith community to learn about mental health and grow in your awareness of those living with mental health challenges. So this is going to be taking place each Thursday from May 2nd to June 20th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. over at St. Benilde School Library in Metairie. There is no cost to attend. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
All right. And then evenings in April and May have been set aside for Come and See Diaconate Information Night. The process of inquiry and discernment for the next formation group is beginning now. or has begun. The following sessions will be held at the Archdiocese of New Orleans Administration Office Lunchroom, and this will be on the following dates: Tuesday, April 23rd, Wednesday, May 1st, Tuesday, May 7th, Wednesday, May 15th, and note that all times are at 6:30 p.m. So if you didn't have time to jot all that down, just go to ccmedia.live because an RSVP is required, and we'll have that link for you to do that as well.
Yes, all of the dates are on our calendar, so you can pick a date that works best for you. But David, there have been so many diaconate information nights across our listening area. They're really promoting
this. That's great.
So if you feel called, you can attend a listening session or a discernment night and take a look and find out more information if this is the right path for you.
Yeah.
Or if you're being called down this path. Well, speaking of events, we have so many that are submitted to us every single day. Mm-hmm. You can actually submit yours absolutely free. It's basically free promotion for your event, parish, school, community. CCmedia.live is our website. Click on events and news and then click submit your event. It's a form. Doesn't take long. You can submit as many events as you would like. Mm-hmm. I have parishes that do that. It's no problem at all. We post them on our website calendar, which is highly looked at every single day.
Yeah.
And we get to talk about it on our morning show during our event segment. So it's a wonderful way to promote your event and for us to continue to, you know, be a partner with you and say, hey, we're here for you. We're your microphone.
Yep.
And here's right. what's happening in our listening area.
And Gabby, how far down the line are some of these events? I mean, you have them from probably going into the summer, don't you?
Summer and beyond. So
really?
If you even have that fall event, send it to us.
Might
I can even
well.
Go to next year. The calendar doesn't end. So I can even go to 2025, which is crazy
yeah.
to even think about. But I know a lot of people are getting ready for their fall events. Usually September, October
yeah.
are those busy months where you have your galas, your fundraisers and everything like that, your fall festivals. You can send those to me as well. Flyers, anything like that.
Okay.
CCmedia.live.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And by the way, you can keep in touch with us by going to the bottom of our page, our online page, and sign up to receive a newsletter. And that way you can see what's going on with us too, because we have events. So yeah, by all means.
Yes, we do.
So sign
yes,
up.
Yes, we do.
Do that. Yeah.
CCmedia.live is where you can go to find out all of the information we discussed today. But stay with us. Father Bouquet joins us to talk about Catholic bioethics when we return from the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 18th. Today we celebrate Blessed James Oldo. You've heard of rags-to-riches stories? Today we celebrate the reverse. James of Oldo was born in 1364 into a well-to-do family near Milan. He married a woman who, like him, appreciated the comforts that had come with wealth. But an outbreak of plague drove James, his wife, and their three children out of their home and into the countryside. Despite those precautions, two of his daughters died from the plague. James determined to use whatever time he had left to build up treasures in heaven and to build God's realm on earth. He and his wife became secular Franciscans. James gave up his old lifestyle and did penance for his sins. He cared for a sick priest who taught him Latin. Upon the death of his wife, James himself became a priest. His house was transformed into a chapel where small groups of people, many of them fellow secular Franciscans, came for prayer and support. James focused on caring for the sick and for prisoners of war. He died in 1404 after contracting a disease from one of his patients and was beatified in 1933. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith. And right now we have Father Shannon Bouquet. He's the Human Life International President. And we're going to be talking about all the great things that they are doing there. Good morning, Father.
Well, good morning, David and Gabby. Great to be with you this morning.
Great to talk to gentleman from the homeland. Where are you living right now? Because, you know, you're in the home of Thibodeau Diocese.
I am from the home of Thibodeau Diocese, right? Yeah. But HLI's office is in Front Royal, Virginia.
Oh.
About an hour or so out of D.C.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, keep it holy up there.
Oh, the Front Royal community is quite lovely. It's a beautiful community, Arlington Diocese. So I've been very, very blessed. But it's been 13 years, so...
Wow.
But it's always nice to head home once in a while to get some nice Louisiana food, keep the blood levels of oysters and gumbo in my
yes,
blood system. Always
yes,
good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, I was doing my show notes here and learning a lot of what's going on with y'all, and this is something very, very encouraging that's coming up. It's the Global Certification Program in Healthcare Ethics. Talk about that.
Sure. Well, this was a partnership with the National Catholic Bioethics Center, which maybe some of our audience might be familiar with. And
mm-hmm.
we have a mutual relationship. We've been around each about 52 years and
wow.
really serving the church's teaching and on the issues of life, family, marriage, so the bioethics. And so we were looking at the international field where HLI works predominantly around the world and wanting to strengthen our leaders in understanding the church's teaching in bioethics and by providing them ongoing formation. So we sat down together, NCBC and HLI, and we took their program. They already have an existence in the U.S. in their certification in ethics, and we built it now for an international community, stretched it. And so we began the program in February as a pilot program with 11 of our leaders from 11 different countries
mm-hmm.
and working with them for the next 10 months in helping them understand the ethical and religious directives of Catholic health care and to understand the various documents that relate to the issues that we're all familiar with,
right.
Contraception, abortion, in vitro fertilization, surrogacy, the transgender issues of today. So it's really to help them to be better leaders, to have the tools they need to be better articulate better the church's teaching, and then to train other people. That's the goal,
yes.
is to train others, keep training.
Well, and education, I mean, that is the key, because I know if we just knew more, you know, the leaders that you're talking about just knew more, a lot of these decisions wouldn't be so hard and difficult to make. But let me ask you this. You say pro-life and family leaders, and then you say international leaders. Who are they? Who are y'all speaking about?
So currently the 11 people that are enrolled in our program
okay.
are people that we already work with. These are our affiliates, are our directors in various countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with our own people,
okay.
and the goal is to continue to do that. But as we meet, they meet people in their own fields. That's a way to grow the network, grow the footprint. And so when you start moving into the rural parts of these countries, you need to really train the catechist in the church's teaching so they become the better tools that the bishops can use, the communities can rely upon for proper guidance and information.
Yeah.
So currently there are 11 people
okay.
that are HLI already connected to Human Life International. And then the goal is next year, starting in February, is to grow it to 20 to 25 more.
Okay.
And then the following year to move it to 50 and just keep stretching, keep growing.
Mm, slow and steady can win the race, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, what you said, David, is so true, is that there is a lack of formation.
Yeah.
And not by the sense of people just out of not concern. It's just that they're not given the opportunity, you know, because there are not enough people trained in the field of healthcare ethics from a Catholic anthropology, from a Christian anthropology, from what the Catholic Church teaches. So we already are engaged in this, but we wanted to strengthen it. And by having the credentials of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, it also allows these individuals with their bishops to have the credentials they need to represent the church in those communities. So we're trying to help the local church have the tools they need to be able to strengthen their work in the mission field.
Does the terrain keep changing? I mean, it seems like we're being bombarded every day
yeah.
with things that just are not true and absurd, but at the same time, a lot of folks don't understand the Catholic Church's teachings about them.
Absolutely. You know, just the the recent document that came out of the Dicastery for the Congregation of the Faith, you know, people are asking many questions about dignitas and infinita, and, you know, and saying, wow, I didn't realize the Church taught this on this issue. And so it's an important moment of time for real formation in catechesis in the Church's teaching and moral tradition. And so, as the Holy Father has been very clear, you know, of recent, speaking about surrogacy, you know, as we know here in the United States, out of the state of Georgia, and, you know, dealing with in vitro fertilization and how that created a firestorm, but people really don't understand what in vitro fertilization does and is, and what are the consequences and outcomes of this procedure. And so, but when people are made aware, most are shocked.
Yes.
They didn't realize, because they think, well, the Church is just being insensitive to couples that struggle with infertility. Aren't we for children after all? Don't we want to have more children? Doesn't the Church teach we want to welcome more children? And so people are really confused, you know, on why the Church would be so adamantly opposed, you know, to this immoral procedure. And so when you expose it to them and you teach them exactly what it is, the bells kind of go off and they look and say, ah, oh, that makes sense now.
Yes.
All right? Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it is about breaking through the confusion and the misconceptions that people have about the teaching, especially the issue of contraception.
Yes.
You know, it's one that, sadly, many of our own Catholic family does not understand.
Right. Or just not even aware. They assume it's approved, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Or because they don't hear anything said. So sadly, many of our pastors, sometimes our bishops, you know, or in our catechist and our parents, no one's talking about it. So if no one talks about it, well, I guess it's okay.
And then
they hear someone like me get up and say something, and it's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
What the heck is talking about?
Yes. Exactly. I mean, and all of a sudden, I'm the one that's wrong.
Yes.
And so when you start talking about, you know, what the Church authentically teaches and why she teaches it and the beauty that she's wanting to uphold in the sacredness of marriage and the beauty of family life and the conjugal act, it's a language that's so beautiful, and people say, wow, I didn't realize that's what this is about. And so breaking through the confusion.
Well, if folks want to learn a lot more about Human Life International, because you offer so much, and I think a lot of the laity do need to be educated a lot more, just in general terms like this. Is there a place we can go to?
Absolutely. You know, you can come to HLI's website, hli.org, and you will see a wonderful opportunity from resources, information from articles, and just lots of research that has been done.
That's great.
To expose the reader. So absolutely, please come to our website. We're glad to help in any way we possibly can, you know, spread the gospel of life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the Global Certification Program and Healthcare Act Ethics is underway, it's implemented, and we will just continue to pray for the success of that.
Well, thank you very much. It's
sure.
It's an important moment of time, you know, because as you would see, you know, with Dignitas Infinita, that this document that just came out on this past Monday is so important for people to see. Well, why is the Church releasing this document? Mm-hmm. Why is it talking about it? And this, I mean, many of our healthcare workers, and to those who are in our listenership today who are in serving healthcare, it's a vocation, have never heard of the ethical and religious directives of Catholic healthcare.
Right.
And this is another reason why we need to keep exposing, you know, the Church's
the
teaching.
Truth. Yes.
And these are 77 principles that guide the Catholic Church in its approach in serving the human person through healthcare.
Absolutely.
And many of our doctors, many of our nurses have never heard of it, even coming out of Catholic medical systems have never heard of it. And tragically, even within our Catholic institutions, they're not necessarily known or followed.
That's
so there's
true.
There's a tremendous amount of work.
You are sorely needed, Father. Before we let you go, could you give us a blessing?
Absolutely. And again, thank you, David and Gabby. Look forward to being with you again in the future.
Yeah, you need
and
to come
the
home.
Blessing of all.
Yes.
One day, God's willing.
Okay.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Well, thank you again. Thank you for having me on.
Wonderful. God bless.
God bless.
Wow.
Gabby, isn't it great we have soldiers in the field like that? I mean, it is just wonderful. I think they're doing great, great things out there, you know, and there's so much out there.
Sometimes when you look at the news or social media, you do feel alone. If you, you know, when we believe this and we are pro-life and part of respecting life is what the church teaches us to do, we feel alone, especially it seems like it just gets louder and louder and louder when an election is quickly approaching or this and that. Stand your ground and take a look and read into this for
and
sure.
Like he explained, there's just a lack of awareness. So it's just a wonderful awareness campaign. I just think it's great. All right. When we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to somebody by the name of David Dawson, Jr. It's the bottom of the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson. And hey, do you want to follow an account on social media that doesn't make you just kind of cringe?
Yeah.
Well, that's us. CCmedia.live. Catholic Community Media is where you can go to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and YouTube, and also on Twitter. It's a little bit different, as always, because LA Catholic Media is where you can go and follow us on there. We post things like news. Our morning show is on there, and just various events we have taking place.
Oh, yeah.
Just to keep up with us. So it's some
lighthearted stuff, like Gail Benson today, you know, presenting the Pope, you know, with the jersey.
It's almost always lighthearted.
Yeah, it should
we
be.
We try to use social media for good and to evangelize, right?
Well, we were talking about that yesterday with the gentleman from St. Louis the Ninth Society, and we were just talking about what's out there now is meant to grab you, and sometimes a lot of the images and a lot of the wording is just harsh, just to get your attention. It doesn't have to be that way. There's a lot of beauty in what we do and how we live, and that's what we're going to share. You know, I always say we're not going to suck your soul out of you by the time you get to work. You know, we're kind of here to build you up, right?
Most definitely. So stay with us and follow us on social media as we continue to evangelize and be a part of the next trend that's out there, because you never know. Okay, well, so David Dawson Sr., one of the things we were going to talk about with David Dawson Jr., and the reason I'm bringing this up is because you do a lot of marriage prep. You and your wife help with a lot of marriage preparation into the Catholic Church. And one of the topics we were going to discuss today as we get David Dawson Jr. over the phone is the differences between men and women and how they are necessary in marriage. What are your thoughts on this?
I totally agree. And they are. And it just seemed like for years and years, we were just trying to pound each other into understanding and living like the other person. And it's just impossible. It's not a contrast. Mm-hmm. It's a compliment. And if it's seen as a compliment, the things that we can do together as one are so, so powerful. You know, one example that I like to use all the time is the compassion that my wife has. You know, just beautiful compassion. Yeah. Whereas, and I'm not saying I'm compassionless, but I'm more of an analytical, let's fix this, right? And so sometimes, and how that helps us out is sometimes I could be, I can just be having a conversation and she can be there with me and she can kind of pull me aside and say, you know, you might be a little harsh there. You might be a little too direct or unsympathetic. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, I need to soften up what I'm saying there, right?
Yeah.
Or there's different times, Gabby, where maybe she'll call me up just totally upset about something, just really upset. And I can tell her, okay, let's break this down. You know, when does this happen? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this and you know, see what happened. And a lot of times she just needs to talk. And or a lot of times it's by the time we get through the conversation, because I'm analytical and problem solver. Again, it's how we're hardwired. She's like, okay, I'm calmer now. We can handle this. We can do this. So it's things like that, you know, that I think are not understood enough. And we don't have to fix that issue. It is a wonderful issue as far as how we complement each other, you know.
I think so, too. You know, I watch... I love just watching those like mindless TV shows at the end of the day, just to kind of just relax the brain. I don't really have to think much. I get to watch other people's, you know, reality show stuff.
Or and lack one of the things yeah. that, yeah.
right, exactly. and one of the things that I found is becoming more and more relevant and popular are these love shows like these pods or, you know, The Bachelor and all these things where people just want to find their person. They want to find love. One of the things that I found is a common theme is a lack of communication with a lot of things, not getting to know their partner or spouse, rushing into something and then later realizing that that one thing they did not discuss or kind of push to the side is coming up to the surface and they now have to address. And then they're on different sides and they break up. Like you said, you can't change your partner. You can't change your spouse to be who you want them to be.
Well,
for you.
And that's the deal.
For you.
You can help me out. And some of these crazy shows, you know, they're talking about love and it's not love at all, I would assume. And it really is, aren't they looking for somebody to satisfy their needs and wants?
So a lot of them are.
Okay.
I think a lot of them are going on for social media, you know, clout and just trying to get that notoriety as well.
Yeah.
But what I found is you can be the most beautiful person in the world, but people just want to be loved. They want to feel loved. They want to find that love. They want that forever love. And that's what I found with these shows. But there are so many differences between men and women that we almost have to. We just need to get to know, you know, our significant other.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I found with marriage prep, that we really got to know each other before we got married, say these are the different things, kind of observing each other and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important. So with your marriage prep that you do, what have you found couples these days are struggling with, or what are the questions that they have when they come to you that you give when they ask for advice?
I think the biggest struggle is time. That has been the new struggle. What I'm seeing in relationships with couples, that the ones that we're seeing now, is giving me great hope, but at the same time, they are so busy, and it's like, how do we have this time with each other? And one thing we try to point out is this is not something that you just give each other when you have time. You have to make that time.
Right.
Some of this stuff that you think you have to do, you do not have to do. And it's more important to be with each other. I hate to use the word dialogue. It sounds too clinical, but it is so important to have that conversation and see where each other are in their family life, your family life, you know, that you're sharing, your daily life. And if you get into your spiritual life, you're going into a depth that a lot of people don't go into. And it's a 100%. deeper intimacy, but you got to make the time. And Gabby, that's the one of the stronger things I see that's pulling people apart.
Yeah, well, you know, jobs are constantly
demanding.
Asking for your attention,
mm-hmm.
especially with, you know, email on your phone, Messenger on your phone, just things where you have access to your work 24/7.
Yes.
But making that time to put the phone away, one of the things that my husband and I love to do, and I look forward to it every single day, is walking around the neighborhood around 5:30 and just talking about our day. It's about a 20-minute walk, 25 minutes, depending on the speed. Sometimes we tend to walk faster depending on the frustration of the day that we're just like blurting out because we haven't talked to each other kind of all day.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things that I look forward to, and just getting to know how his day was. He gets to hear about my day. We get to talk about our thoughts and what we're, you know, want to do and planning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't have, you know, even if we've talked to each other 5 times that day, it's still, we always find something to talk about.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I love to do, is make time for each other, because we can get so busy with the routine, especially with kids' activities. I mean, kids' activities these days seem to get busier and busier. And then the next thing you know, a month has gone by or 3 months have gone by.
Yes.
You know, and we didn't take the time for our spouse.
And I can tell you.
To get to know them.
Our kids will, what we talk about now that our kids, I call them kids, they're adults, but we get together and the things that we discuss when we talk about their childhood and such, we talk about all the wonderful things that we did together as a family, but we don't talk much about the sports and other obligations that we had to bring them to. You know, it just doesn't come up much, you know. They remember the beach, you know, when we went to the beach. They just remember, sometimes we're talking music, things like that. It's just, they remember the times that we spent together. But there's a lot of obligations. There's a lot of obligations that we put ourselves in with kids because we want them to have these certain things where we may actually be depriving a good family, solid life, you know. So that's time.
Absolutely.
It takes time. Definitely. Make that time.
Well, and we can go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
And I always say, hey, send that little text throughout the day. I love you. I'm thinking about you. How's your day going? Just something that takes 2 seconds to do. And just try it out.
That's right. I'm going to send David Jr. a text right now. How about that?
Yeah.
If he's listening, I'm kidding you, Dave.
Stay with us. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith. And right now, we are joined by Sarah Jane Smith. She's the fertility educator at Women's New Life Clinic. And we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that they're doing over there. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Mm. We're doing great. You guys are my heroes. Y'all offer so much.
Yes.
And a lot of people sometimes have a tendency to focus on you know, the ultrasounds and helping people avoid, you know, having abortions and things, but you're on the end of helping people to have a child. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm one of the fertility instructors in our FEM method, but there are definitely different methods of fertility awareness-based methods. It's kind of the overarching what they're called, and that's just really teaching a woman to kind of tune in from a scientific standpoint to the fertility signs of her cycle. We call them biomarkers, to better understand her overall health as well as reproductive health, because they're so linked. And this really just helps any woman to become an informed participant in her health, as well as the obviously added benefit to understand her cycle for family planning purposes. So yeah, it's really a great joy. I think it's so important.
Now, you have quite a few different methods to help people along with this, right?
Yes.
Okay. What are some of them?
So yeah, I specifically teach the FEM method, which is kind of this overarching organization called FEM, Fertility Education and Medical Management, but then we also offer Creighton Fertility Care System, and then Family of the Americas ovulation method.
Okay.
So yeah, you can kind of explore the different options and find out what is a best fit for any, you know, given woman, given couple.
So, and this is a more of a health awareness of a woman understanding when the ovulation takes place, and then of course when it doesn't, and when the ideal times to conceive and such. But it's done naturally. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So totally just by tuning in with your body's natural signs, that has been, you know, heavily researched and backed up with so much research to kind of really pinpoint that area. So it's not just rhythm method, like, oh, it's just going to be, you know, this day 14 or whatever, but actually to each individual woman and saying, what's going on with, you know, me, Sarah Jane, like, you know, you, Gabby, and seeing from there, which is really amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And we all, you know, we hear the term woman empowerment, women empowerment. I mean, how much more empowered can you be by tuning into your own body, right? And learning your own cycles and learning when things maybe aren't so great and you can go to someone like Sarah Jane. And when things are great and communicating that with your spouse, you know, if you're married and when to conceive, when you don't want to conceive. And the thing about this, Sarah, that I have found is it can be a little overwhelming at first. I'm just going to say it right out there. It was a lot of information at first, but then it just becomes second nature, you know, to kind of record things and kind of know when things are going to happen. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I know that when I have questions, I can go to people like Sarah Jane, who can sit down with me, no judgment, and just be like, let's talk, let's see what's going on, and move forward. So I really like how you guys do this, Sarah Jane.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the key part, right? Because I say the same thing, Gabby. I'm always like with my clients on our first session, I'm like, it can be a little bit like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
As you start, you're going to be like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
But you know, that's why there's multiple sessions and that you always have access to your instructor. And I think that's why it's so important to choose a method that does kind of coincide with an instructor so that you have that truly personal support.
I can tell you, I remember going with my wife when we were just married and taking all this in, and a lot of this was new. And boy, let me tell you, this is something I did not want to attend. I was really not in the mood for that, okay? But that had to be right. One of the most wonderful things that I did attend. I was like, I did not have a clue about some of this. And from this day on, it just helped, once again, in our relationship, because I was more aware of what was going on, you know, with her. So do you recommend it for individuals or couples, you know, individual women, or can couples attend, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's awesome because it's really for any woman, but absolutely for couples, particularly, you know, in engagement, preparing for marriage, or if you've been married and are like, wait, I didn't know about this and
yeah.
We need to get on that, you know, then, so it's really amazing because it's for anyone. I even work with teens in the Teen Femme Protocol to kind of just teach body literacy to young women. And then I've worked with married couples, and then, you know, we serve women all the way, you know, through menopause, et cetera.
So it's available to anyone, or is there a special qualification that you do, or is it expensive? How does that work?
Yeah, no, it's very low cost.
Okay.
You can kind of access all of our, it really is for any young woman or any couple. And like I said, actually even through your whole kind of reproductive life as a woman. And then you can kind of learn more about the methods and the cost, but it is all very low cost. Insurance is even often able to be billed. And you can learn about all that through our website, which is www.womensnewlife.com. And then it would be under the Women's Health and Fertility Awareness Method tab.
Okay. Well, we'll have that link as well in our show notes, huh, Gabby?
And Sarah, the fact that you guys provide these materials for Well Woman Care is the reason why you need support from listeners and viewers, because you are donor-based. So talk about real quick ways that people can go and support you guys, especially with your upcoming Saved in Hope dinner.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So anyone can make a gift at, once again, www.womensnewlife.com/donate. And then we have, yes, exactly, our upcoming Saved in Hope dinner, which is going to be Wednesday, May 8th at Drusilla's Ballroom in Baton Rouge. And it'll feature a keynote speaker from Dr. John Burchowski, and who is a former abortionist and now pro-life OBGYN. So that will be amazing. But it is something you need to make a reservation for, and so for patrons. And so that would be also through our website /Saved in Hope. And then the deadline to do that is May 1st.
All right. Yes. Well, Sarah yeah. Jane
and
Smith.
Of course, just praying.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and of course, just praying for our staff and our clients and the clinic in general.
Absolutely. Well, y'all certainly have ours over here. I just love y'all and everything that y'all do at Woman's New Life Clinic. Sarah Jane Smith, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks so much.
Great. Gabby, that's, you know, it see how it ties into what Father Bouquet was talking about as well.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot to be learned out there. And when you do, then we realize the beauty of God's creation. Isn't that amazing? So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's part of the differences, like we talked about in the segment before, between men and women.
Yeah.
But having that communication and learn a little bit more about each other. So this is, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for that.
Absolutely. Okay, you ready to close with prayer?
Yes.
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to you, to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the closing prayer for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's just, I just think it's so beautiful.
It is. Thank you so much, David.
Sure.
That was a fun show.
It was great.
Wonderful co-host.
Learned
We're
a lot.
So grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jeff Blackwell, our audio director,
yes.
Karen Cotton, our video technical director, for a wonderful and amazing show today. Thank you both so much. We're
yes,
so
indeed.
Grateful for you, our wonderful team here over at Wake Up Catholic Community Media. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. Dr. Samuel Shepherd over at Ave Maria University will talk about agriculture and Catholic environmental stewardship. Perfect, because Earth Day is just days away, you guys. So we'll be talking about this. And Michael Litchens joins us to talk about his new book. And Sister Marjorie Hebert with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans will update us. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.